This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, August 20th, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Dems oppose plastic packaging rules. CAFB still pressing for ag overtime credit. And Rollins warned, FSA offices understaffed. Lawmakers oppose draft rules on plastic packaging. California lawmakers and environmental advocates pushing back yesterday against the Newsom administration's draft regulations for implementing SB 54, warning that the rules would weaken the nation's strongest plastic reduction law. Senator Ben Allen of Santa Monica, the bill's author, said the proposed rule falls short of the law's intent. We can't afford regulations that perpetuate the status quo, fly in the face of the law as written, Allen told reporters. He warned that loopholes would continue to shift cost onto local governments and ratepayers despite SB 54's promise to make plastic producers accountable. Assemblymember Tasha Borner of Incentius emphasized that the regulations create an increasing number of product exclusions that undermine the law's effectiveness and raise costs. Senator Catherine Blakespear, chair of the Senate Environment Quality Committee, said Cal Recycle's draft rules broadly exclude some products that should be covered and allow hazardous technologies to count as recycling. Assemblymember Greg Hart of Santa Barbara added that weakening standards would betray taxpayers. He charged that producers of plastic waste, not taxpayers, not local governments, must take responsibility. Remember, in March, Governor Gavin Newsom sent Cal Recycle back to the drawing board to revise its proposed rules. Newsom agreed with ag groups and package manufacturers that the rules could impose unacceptable burdens on businesses and pass costs on to consumers. Farm Bureau holds out hope for ag overtime credit. The California Farm Bureau is continuing to push for an ag overtime tax credit for employers, despite lawmakers rejecting the proposal earlier this year. Chris Reardon, CAFB Vice President of Policy Advocacy, told AgriPulse the organization remains committed to the issue as the legislative session is winding down. He said he was, quote, disappointed to see what happened, but shared that the discussions have continued with lawmakers. He hopes these could lead to provisions in a budget trailer bill this session or another bill proposal next year. Reardon pointed to the $750 million in state tax credits for the film industry this year as evidence that lawmakers can support targeted incentives. He argued agriculture deserves similar consideration, especially given the sector's tight margins and importance to the state economy. You can read more about what Reardon and others are watching in the last weeks of the session of the Agriculture West newsletter. It hits inboxes later this morning. Group representing FSA committee members warns of staffing declines. Leaders of an association representing Farm Service Agency committee members raising concerns that staff reductions have left, quote, many offices without the necessary employee resources to adequately handle farm programs. National Association of Farmer Elected Committee Presidents Jim Zumbrink and nine other members of the organization's executive committee sending a letter to Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins dated today on the proposed reorganization of the agency. The group, quote, is very concerned that without adequate staff, our farmers and ranchers could experience great delays in the receipt of program funds, conservation funds, and emergency funds. They note that since 2002, FSA permanent county staffing has declined 40%, going from 9,413 employees to fewer than 6,000. They say current staffing levels are at an all-time low, and they want their organization to have, quote, a seat at the table during any future FSA reorganization plans. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Small farms decrease in number, according to NASS. The number of family farms fell by 8% between 2017 and 2022, the National Ag Statistics Service says in a new report. The decrease amounts to nearly 159,000 farms. Large farms increased 40%, very large farms by 65%, NAF said. Large farms, defined as having gross cash farm income between $1 million and $4.99 million. Very large farms have gross cash farm income of $5 million and over. Small farms, those with CGFI under $35,000, account for 85% of the United States' 1.9 million farms. Now take note. Family farms still make up 95% of all U.S. farms, that according to the report. The typology report is available from the Ag Statistics Service. Report. Over half of 2024 farm credit loans went to young, beginning, or small producers. More than half of all loans made by farm credit lenders in 2024 went to young, beginning, or small producers. That's according to a new report from the Farm Credit Administration, which oversees the system. FCA says the Farm Credit System institutions provided $348 million in services to young, beginning, and small producers. The report says more institutions reported having young, beginning, and smaller farmer advisory committees, board members, and staff training compared to 2023. The report says total non-lending dollars for young, beginning, and small farmers decreased by 2.7%, mostly due to decreases in grants and in non-lending capital commitments. USDA Trade Undersecretary leads U.S. delegation to Korea. USDA trade officials met with their counterparts to discuss ag trade at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Food Security Ministerial Meeting last week, USDA said. Michelle Beckering, Deputy Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs, led the U.S. delegation. She met with the Korean Ministry of Agriculture, Food, and Rural Affairs to discuss non-tariff barriers during the visit. Those barriers, according to a U.S. Trade Representative report released in March, include onerous biotechnology requirements and a 16-year-old transitional measure restricting U.S. beef exports. Here's today's final word. Anything that compromises the State Water Project poses a threat to public health and economic success. That Department of Water Resources Director Carla Nemeth unveiling a new water adaptation strategy, highlighting the importance of the Newsom administration's Delta Tunnel proposal. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, August 20th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.